Welcome to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, with your host, Director of the MVAA, Adam Ollier.
Hi, this is Adam Ollier, the Director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, and I'm really excited about another week talking to you about how we can do a better job supporting our service members and their families. We've got two really incredible guests today. I'm also going to be joined by a member of my team, Alan Dow, who is kind of the everything in the agency, in the office, does all the things that need to happen, and we'll fill in the second half of the show. So really excited to let you get to know another one of our folks who is doing a lot of the really important work, partnering and being a part of neighborhood and community. But also, as we talk to two more individuals who are doing the good work, we know that at MVAA, our job is to help support all the organizations and individuals who have prioritized taking care of military folks and their families. So I have the honor of introducing you all, or, you know, just highlighting another one of my great staff members, Alan Dow. Alan is a Navy veteran. He's super cool. Like, he'll tell you all these cool things about things, but only tell you the first quarter because he's an intel officer. So he's got to keep everything else classified. But no, seriously, Alan has really been a resource and an asset to our organization. And so much of that work comes from his understanding and commitment to going out and being in community. So Alan, I'm really glad to have you on the show today.
Looking forward to being here. I appreciate it.
Alan, do you want to tell folks what you can tell them? I know everything else is classified. So there's always the, like, do they need to know what's going on? Who is Alan Dow?
I am a lifelong service member. I joined the Navy in 1989, active duty, transitioned to the Navy Reserves in 1996. And around 2000, I transitioned over to the Michigan Army National Guard. I was there for about 7 years, short little break. And then Uncle Sam came knocking on my door, asked me to take a commission as an intel officer. And it had a lot to do with my civilian work. At the time, I'm a retiree from Ingham County Circuit Courts, where I served as the county warrant officer. So hand-in-hand job. So been doing that for the last 13 years, 14 years. I'm 04 now, the executive officer of a small intel unit down in St. Louis, Missouri. And prior to that, I actually spent 8 years out at Nautic, which is most people will know as Top Gun. I was an instructor for one of the courses taught at that schoolhouse.
So you were like the lady that Tom Cruise fell in love with in the first movie?
Yeah. So I was out there. A lot of that films are actually filmed out there in that area, because that's actually where the schoolhouse is at. But I used to take folks out there, and like the tower that was buzzed in the first movie is actually in Fallon, Nevada, you know, at the air station there. So it's always kind of a neat little thing to drive people by.
That's cool. But from a practical standpoint, you said you've spent an entire career serving in the military, both in the Army National Guard, in active duty Navy, and in the Navy Reserves. Do you just want to share what it's like to have had kind of those three very unique experiences, and also to go from enlisted to officer and now be a lieutenant commander?
Yeah, it's you know, pros and cons, because I did bounce around a lot. I have a varying array of background. So I started off in supply, transitioned to the legal JAG field, and then I transitioned into intelligence. And sometimes I wonder if that hurt me, it career-wise, because I think if I would have just picked one, stayed with it, I'd be that subject matter expert, die hard. I mean, I'm really good at what I do. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I think I could have been a stronger, better officer had I just picked one field and stayed with it. But it gave me a robust understanding. That's kind of what I do for the agency, right? I started off in that really broad overview. And now in this new role, I have my fingers on almost every aspect of the agency. So I have that 35,000 foot look on everything. I think that's been my military career, and kind of transitioning here to MVAA.
Well, the reason I bring that up is because I know I talk to a lot of junior enlisted, and they're trying to figure out what the right path for them can be. And especially folks coming out of active duty, right? Like, yeah. You know, you spend, I have a good friend who was an E4 in the Navy, and he'd always say, E4 in the Navy is just about the worst thing that you can possibly be, because there are all these people around you who can tell you what to do. And then he moved over to the Army and has become an officer and all those kind of things. And just that transition means something. So folks who may not have enjoyed that active duty life, there is another side and another opportunity to continue to serve.
Yeah. And, you know, like for me, I was getting up there in years on the enlisted side, and by transitioning to the officer, kind of reset the clock. I got like a second career out of the deal. So that was part of the mindset for me. E4 in the Navy, I think, was probably my favorite. The E4, E5, O3 in the Navy was probably my favorite. I've never heard a naval officer say any other rank other than O3 was the best. Okay. I've had captains tell me that. They're like, you were, when I went from O2 to O3, like, enjoy these next 4 or 5 years. It's going to be the highlight of your career, guarantee it. And not wrong at all.
That's cool. And so you've been able to transition and manage both being in the military and handling your civilian side. How'd you do that? I know people wonder, you know, I know you have family. What's that transition been like?
It's funny. I stop on the street often. Thank you for your service. And I always reply, sorry, no, thank you for your support. It is not possible without the support of friends, family, loved ones. I could not do this. I was a single father when I started off, and then I met my wife and then we had a child, but could not have done it without the support of family and friends.
No, that makes a huge difference. I always feel the same way. You know, my wife is the one that has to make the sacrifice. I get to go spend time jumping out of airplanes. Like, that's not a bad deal on the weekend.
Yeah, no, I say when I retire, it's not going to be an Alan Dow retirement party. It's going to be an honoring the wife party, honoring the family party, because they're the ones that made that ultimate sacrifice of, I look at my son, I probably known him half his life, really, because I'm always gone. Mm-hmm. So that really tears on me, because I look at the relationship my wife and my son have compared to the relationship my son and I have. And it's just because I was gone, doing it, but we're building that. It's not like there's a problem, but we're having a good time getting to know each other,
Yeah, my wife jokes about the difference between the recruiting videos and the reality. On the recruiting videos, they're like 1 week in a month, 2 weeks in the summer. Yeah. She's like a quarter of all weekends and the best 2 weeks of the summer. And I'm like, sweetie, it's not that bad. She's like, isn't it though?
Yeah, I am gone quite a bit. And then, they have pop-up orders like, hey, can you come out here for 30 days? And 180 days later, when you return home, it's like, yeah, sure. It's been great. Right. I have zero complaints. I'm looking forward. Hopefully, I think I'm on my twilight career or tour, and looking forward to coming home and being with the family.
Well, I'm excited about being able to continue this conversation. We got to take a quick break here. Again, this is Adam Ollier, the director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, and I have Alan Dow, kind of my Swiss Army knife of everything. And to that end, he's also brought in our guests, and so I'd love if you want to tell us a little bit about him so that when we get them online, they can just get right into it.
Yeah, so when I started on an MBA a couple of years ago, I was the strategy specialist. I worked for the director of strategy and outreach, kind of a special projects guy. I had the benefit here this past September, October to kind of fill in for our partnership coordinator role. And one of the things that I had to do is continue with my predecessor, it was Ryan Engel, his veteran stakeholders email. So I have this giant email list of just emails. I don't know who they are. And so I sent out this email and updates. And first thing that happens, your first guest should be Andrew today. Andrew Linares from Hats Off, or it's called Honoring All the Sacrifices. So based out of Taylor, phone rings. And he calls me and introduces himself. And every email, Andrew calls me. And he's got a pretty wide scope of what he does in terms of veteran housing down in Detroit. He's got a whole different gambit. He's now a Google partner. So, and he's always first to respond. He's active in our Governor's Challenge program and the Transitioning Service Member Work Group. So yesterday when I said, hey, our guest fell through, I'm like, I got two. I'll get you right away. So Andrew is that one.
Alan, that's what I love about you. I'm like, hey, here's a very unreasonable request. Can you do it? And you're like, oh, sir, not a problem. That's a really impressive thing. You know, I appreciate that out of you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my wife just said, "Ray, no, it's gonna." not a problem. I knew Andrew would be on board. I mean, he's like, I'll stop by, he cleared his calendar because I'll be here. And I know he'll take care of us. The other guest today is somebody I recently had on our transitioning service member work group. His name is Bob Taylor. He's a former navigator from the Air Force, 04. And he actually recently wrote a book. He's really active in the suicide prevention. And it's a book. Actually, I have given you a copy. It's on your desk. I was kind of hoping to bring you down to Battle Creek today and have you meet him. But I know our schedules got messed up. But I'm going to go down there later today and see him speak. But he wrote a book called From Service to Success. And kind of chronicles his trials and tribulations of departing active military, struggling a little bit, and then getting on his feet. Now he's the CEO of a medical company out in Grand Rapids. So he wrote this book. The book is From Service to Success. And then what he does is for every copy he sells, he donates one and any proceeds he donates a book to veterans, and then he takes the proceeds to assist in suicide prevention and awareness. So he's going to be a great guest. I'm really looking forward to seeing him speak later today, because as you're aware, this is the National Salute to Veteran Patients Week, and he is speaking at the VA Medical Center in Battle Creek today. So I'm going to head down there, check in with them and say hi, and hope to get him on some more events and get him involved with our, you know, Suicide Prevention Governor's Challenge. And then some more events. I really want to get him involved with our transitioning service members and get him, you know, when we start trying to do courses.
I wanted to tag you in right there for all of our listeners who aren't familiar with the transitioning service work group, what that does. So, you know, we as a state are trying to do a better job of getting our service members who, you know, raise their right hand in Michigan to come back to Michigan, and those who raise their right hands and sign up somewhere else to come to Michigan. And so when you come out of active duty, you have to go through this transitioning services program, right? And what that does is say, hey, these are the kind of things that you're going to do in civilian world, thinking about these kind of things, and they can be all over. And you've worked really hard to get Michigan one of those programs. So people are going to be able to come off active duty and come to class right here.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm really happy about that. We just completed one here last week. First one where service members nationally stationed anywhere in the country can log into that DOD TAP registry, and there was a Michigan course listed. So we're looking forward to continuing that. We've got the in now with the federal government. We do have to do some refining here locally, but we need to set up some more of those courses and then, you know, get those service members aware. I always like to joke, and I know you're headed off to the NASDAQ conference next week, but each state, all 50 states have, you know, a state director of Veterans Affairs. And I always like to say we're in competition with 49 other states. We just have to have that much better services benefits as a state so we can lure and be more appealing to those veterans who are getting ready to discharge and say, I've got 50 states to choose from. Where do I want to go? Home? Oh, look at all the things Michigan has. And that's what I want to do. I want to make Michigan the most appealing state, kind of like a Pure Michigan campaign, and get service members that want to come here, work here, school here, and raise their families. It's a great state.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that I think is a huge priority for us. And one of the challenges that we're going to need to do is get our active duty folks to move here and stay here as well. And the way that we know that we're going to do that is by winning on military spouses and families. So if you have a child, husband, spouse, sister, brother, uncle, husband, wife, that is serving actively in the military, we want them to come back to Michigan. We want them to come to Michigan. And so if you're listening and you're thinking, hey, why should they come back? Please let us know, right? You can give us a call at 1-800-MICH-VET and talk about some of the things that your service member needs to reach out. We want to make sure that Michigan is doing everything we can to support you and your family, because that's why we're here. There are probably lots of resources that you don't know exist that we have that we would love to work on. And if they don't exist yet, me and Alan are going to make them happen.
Yeah, just got to let us know. And reach out to us, let us know what you want, and then we'll try and build it and get it built.
Yeah. And so it's funny that you mentioned that, Alan. As we talk about this transitioning services program, How are people competing across the area? What are we doing more? I know you've been talking to MEDC about our Why Michigan app, which if folks are unfamiliar with, it's an app that we as an agency run to encourage people to come back here off active duty and do those kind of things. But what should people be looking out for from us?
You took me on a side check with that Why Michigan app. I love that app. It is time for an upgrade on that app. But I think it's great because we really need to fix it and get it remarketed out to the other states so those members stationed abroad can look at it. And I like the app because you can break it down regionally. So if I want to move to Detroit, it pops up all the schools, employers, and job listings and veteran service officers just for that area. Or if you're up in Traverse City, same thing. But, I think as we look at and we learn from our partners in the other states, we can create programs. And then, if there's a need, the grassroots come and hits us up, let us know what they're needing. We can sit down and, figure that out and get it, working with our, veteran service organization partners, we can get something built. But we are a unique state. We are the 11th largest veteran population in the state. And we have absolutely zero active duty bases. So that's huge that Michigan can do that. So, we just got to tap the veterans, find out what it is they want and see what we can do to get it for them.
Cool. And so I'm up at Camp Grayling enjoying what surprisingly was 5 inches of snow. I did not know that that's what I was signing up for. I came up and they're like, oh, all the snow. And I was like, snow, we're done with snow for the year, right? Apparently not. Apparently this northern part of the state loves the snow. But as we talk about some of these other kind of ways that the state is attracting and retaining and doing all those other things, I'm really excited about you being able to talk to our guests today about the work that they're doing to support service members and their families. We know that that kind of coverage really allows people to stay here in Michigan as we compete against other states, particularly like Texas and Florida and North Carolina that have some of the larger military installations or Virginia, California in that way. When you came back home, what made you make the decision to come back home?
I had a child, and I had a family network here at the time. So when I came off active duty, I was stationed in California. I'm a California native. I grew up in California. I moved to high school. My son jokingly refers to himself as my failed high school science experiment, and I had joined the Navy. When I got off active duty, I came to Michigan because that's where my support base, my family support base was. And I started college, and then, I met my wife, and I just never left. So I've been here ever since. It's been great.
Welcome to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, with your host, Director of the MVAA, Adam Ollier.
Hey, it's Adam Ollier, the Director of the Veterans Affairs Agency for the state of Michigan, and we are very excited to have a guest right out of Taylor. Alan, do you want to introduce your friend? I don't want to steal your thunder on this one.
Yeah, so who we have here today is Andrew Ace Linares. From honoring all the sacrifices of freedom fighters. When I first started taking over as the partnership coordinator, I would send out my weekly veteran stakeholders email. And every week, as soon as that went out, within about 30 seconds, my phone rang. It was Andrew. Hey, let me tell you about something new my organization is doing. Hey, let me tell you about something new. And he is just exploding with different opportunities and stuff. And I thought, I've got him involved. He's on our governor's challenge and he's involved with our transitioning service member work group. So I thought I'd get him on here today, talk about himself and then talk about the agency.
That's what you get when you get an Army guy who also went to Cornell. I mean, he just sounds really amazing. Andrew, do you want to introduce yourself real quick and tell us a little bit about your organization?
Sure. And I will neither confirm nor deny whether that was me calling Alan that 30 seconds after he sent out those veteran stakeholder emails. But I will say my name is Andrew Linares. I'm the chief executive of Honoring All the Sacrifices. We're a very unique and first of its kind type of entity. And I noticed that you said my alma mater there, Cornell. And I am proud to rep Cornell, but honestly, if it wasn't for their program, you know, I probably wouldn't have been able to take this chance and to really make something come true.
Well, I really love that. I also went to Cornell, and I know how they have such a commitment for that, but also for supporting service members and their families, right? Cornell has always been very committed to that military ethos. But you're down in Taylor, right? So you're in an area with a lot of veterans, a lot of former veterans, or not, you know, former service members and their families. Like, what is it like to serve such an involved population?
So it's very rewarding and fulfilling. Because of the pure intent that this organization was formed off of, you know, and the purposes behind it. So there's obviously a personal attachment to the mission, you know, that I particularly I'm the founder, and that I really wanted to get involved, especially with local veterans. But in here, in this local region, you know, there's been a just rash of opioid epidemic and substance use issues. You know, that has really targeted some of the most vulnerable populations of veterans, you know, and so it's a challenge, and it's very challenging to make programs that have, you know, little barriers, if any, you know, so we actually partnered with the National Council on Mental Health. So they're coming down here actually this March to give us some recommendations and help building our trust-based care programs. So very challenging, but very rewarding.
Andrew, that's amazing. I wish I could stick around a little longer. I have to go run over to meet with the tag, but I know Alan is going to take really good care of you. And as I said, I'm really looking forward to coming down and visiting your work. Before you leave, I'd really encourage you to share the website and the contact information. So if people want to get in touch with you and your organization, that they can do so. I know I am excited to partner, and we'll get you back to do that right there in Taylor.
Yeah, it sounds great. Honestly, you're more than welcome. You know, we'll have plenty of, you know, coffee and, you know, plenty of free sugar packets. And, you know, we obviously we're charity, so we can't afford much, but, you know, we can do a little bit.
Sounds good. So thank you, Director. You have a great day.
And thank you for having me, by the way.
We'll talk soon. Yeah, Andrew, you know, like when you and I first met via the phone, pretty sure it was you. I think you called me out the very first day that you were talking more about your veteran homelessness program. Are you able to talk about that? I know on your website, which is honoringallthesacrifices.com. Are you able to talk about that a little bit more? Like,
yeah, absolutely. So where we differ than most of the standard housing programs is, you know, we took our own private equity. And we took it upon ourselves to purchase low-cost residential homes because we have a significant volunteer base, you know, that has many, many contractors in it. And so because of the fact that we decided to use our own private equity rather than grant funds to, you know, to purchase these homes, it really allowed us to make it barrier-free. And, you know, we established a really a peer-to-peer support system around it. You know, they're given program objectives, and it's considered semi-permanent transitional housing, but they can literally stay there as long as they like, as long as they're meeting their program objectives, you know, and that's what it was really all about. You know, and then we tailor it with the wraparound services, and, you know, it just gives the veterans the best possible chance that they have at, you know, being successful and independent.
Yeah, you know, and when you talked about that program, it popped up a program I'm familiar with down in Eaton Rapids called the VFW National Home. I still am trying to get you out there. I'm supposed to go out there in a couple of weeks, so I'm sure we'll sync up and I'll get you out there and introduce you to their executive director, Mike Wilson. But similar program that they take veterans from all over the country, spouses, families, and they do the same thing. And they have it's an up to a 4-year, you know, get back on your feet, get trained. And they have housing. It's a beautiful complex out there, and I'd love to show you. But you are kind of like their model and then some, from what I see.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's necessary. You know, because you know, me having been a homeless veteran at one point myself, you know, I'm all too familiar with you know, with some of the barriers that are out there.
Yeah, empathy. Totally get that. Yeah. Hey, transitioning too, because I know this is something you and I are currently working on with our agency, and I hope to get a kickstart here soon, but I really want to talk to you about your Google partnership and the opportunities that provides veterans here in the state.
Yeah. So, Obviously, so two-thirds of Americans, lack the formal digital skills that are really needed in the current job market. So Google has really done a great job of tailoring their program, and it's the curriculum is not only developed by Google staff themselves, but it's also taught by the Google staff, and a lot of, I'd say a good portion, a majority of the people that go through the program end up working for Google. And so these are in things like, user experience design, data analytics, e-commerce, marketing, project management, digital skills that is just becoming more and more relevant, to making sure that somebody's competitive in the workforce. Or even if they want to specialize, gain some expertise, for a higher level position and career, 75% of all the program attendees responded saying that they had a increase in their career within about 6 months.
Yeah, can you see how we're doing? Can you talk a little on the scholarship aspect? I know you gave MBA some. I know we're a little premature here because we haven't set up the call-in routine yet because we're still working on scheduling a meeting with our MVRC staff, but you want to explain that? Because that was really exciting, and I know some others have gotten this. That's good.
Yeah, so absolutely. So any veteran qualifies. There's no prerequisites for educational requirements. There's no waiting period. So all you have to do is go to our website, which is www.honoringallthesacrifices.com. And you'll go under the tab that says Google Scholarship. And there you'll be able to, pull up the application form. It's very streamlined and you'll submit it either by email. You can submit it directly to us by hand, by US mail, or we can take it over the phone. So a really integrated and seamless way to make sure that they have access to this resource. So we have 500 scholarships that we give out every year. They're at the veteran's own pace. They don't, have any time requirements. And you can basically get an entire program, which is about 6 to 8 courses done to get your certificate in part-time about 6 months. So when you do part-time about 6 months, then that leads to 12 college credits, that it's certified by the American Council of Education.
Yeah, this is a really great program. I look forward to be able to roll that out here in the next couple of weeks through our office. We're just basically getting our staff trained on the process so we can get those referrals to you. I was really grateful that you were able to set aside so many scholarships for MBAA to pass out. So no, we're running low on time here. So I just want to thank you very much for being part of this. I look forward to getting the director down to you. Thank you for being here today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to really quick wanted to let everybody know, we have our new campaign that is going on. It's just launching, this Connects coming up week, which is #CheckTheBox. And just trying to really convey the importance of when a veteran goes to their transition counseling, checking the box to share their information with the third party provider, because that's us, to make sure that on the civilian side, they have that transition support to build those long lasting support systems.
Sounds good. Thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you at the next meeting, and I'll get down there as soon as I can.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
See you, Andrew.
Yep.
All right. Welcome back. This is Alan Dow, the Partnership Coordinator at the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. As he stated, the director did have to depart during the recording of this, so I'm going to take this for the last leg, and I'm really happy to introduce Bob Taylor. He's the CEO and owner of Alliant Enterprises. He's a graduate like myself of Michigan State University, although maybe a year or two before me. former Air Force navigator on a couple of different platforms, and I met Bob for the first time about his book that he's going to talk to you about transitioning service member work groups. And that's something I work on with the state. And his book is just spot on what we're trying to achieve here in helping veterans transition from active to civilian life. And I love his book. He's going to tell you about it. It's from service to success. So Bob, I'm going to let you introduce yourself. Go ahead.
Hi, Alan. Thank you for having me on the show today. Just real quick, my background is I'm a Saginaw native, grew up in Michigan and went to Michigan State University. So I'm sporting the Spartan colors today, especially in light of what happened recently. So everyone is in my thoughts and prayers there. So after my senior year, I went through, joined the Air Force, went through officers training school, and like you said, ended up as a navigator, first in B-52s and then in KC-135s. But while I was in B-52s, I deployed to Diego Garcia. It's an island in the middle of, almost on the opposite side of the world in the Indian Ocean, and flew 11 combat missions to in support of Operation Desert Storm, left active duty, and was fortunate enough to go to Kalamazoo, Michigan, moved over to the west side and started a career in medical device and went through the ranks. And now I own a business and have founded, not only that, wrote this book, From Service to Success, and founded an organization called the Patriot Promise Foundation, trying to help veterans find a new passion in life.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, I meant to joke with you about it earlier. So the Gulf War, I enlisted in the Navy in 1989. So, and I'm, as you know, I'm still an active reservist, and I was recently doing a uniform inspection, and the senior enlisted and the skipper are all looking my uniform over, and it's kind of, you know, your ribbon racks are like a history book, right? And so I have that, you know, I've got all those medals from that time. They're just like, wow, you are old. And saying, you know, like, you've been in the service a long time, but, you know, and we jokingly say in my ship, I was on the USS Denver, and we were there for Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and we used to jokingly say Desert Stay. We were the last ship out of, we were the last ship out of the Gulf, and I remember having CNN on board, like, all right, this is the last one from this, you know, store as we left the Gulf. But yeah, so it's been a long time. It's
just, yeah, a friend of mine asked me to talk to his daughter, who was in high school at the time. This was a few years ago. And I was talking to her because some of those, it was almost like the first war that was on television almost every day, and yeah, and almost like a live report. And I asked her if she remembered it. And he said, Bob, she was 7 years old. And she said, yeah, I've studied it in our history classes.
Oh, so, ouch.
Yeah, ouch.
Yeah, it's funny. I see folks now and I'm like, I can't believe a lot of different campaigns in my career, but that's hard. I think the director was asking me earlier, and you know, I've been in the military a long time, and you know, basically, when am I going to be done? And I'm like, I realized recently, especially in the last couple of years, that I'm having a hard time getting out, because I think I'm a fear of the transition. And I, you know, that loss of tribe that you're going to experience and stuff. And I know in my job nowadays, if I'm having a bad day where I'm at meeting and I make no forward progress or anything, I can easily go into my Navy email and solve one of 30, you know, problems right for my sailors.
I talked to a 2-star general who had been in for 30 years, and he was experiencing the same thing where, you know, what to expect in the military. You have kind of a community that you're part of.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, giving that up, giving that camaraderie up and going into a new world. The thing that I like to say, Alan, is that just the same effort that you put into becoming great at what you do is just this, it's the same thing. You have to put in that same effort and discover kind of what your true passion is after service. And it is kind of scary, but it's also, I look at life sometimes as a chapter book. You know, you have all these chapters, and sometimes you just have to close one chapter and move on to the next one. And it's scary, but it's also exciting because you get to find out something completely different about yourself that you didn't know before you stepped out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So I'm glad I had met you, and I'm glad I got to, you know, I have your book. I'm, you know, partially through it, and I, Let's talk about that, because I know like one of my stressors is going to be, you know, loss of tribe. And I know that's a stressor for veteran suicide. And I know that Patriot Promise and your book address that some, to some degree. Can you talk a little about that?
Yeah. So I just actually wrote an article for a news organization, and the title of it's Make a Friend, Save a Vet. And, you know, veterans who struggle. So about half of veterans that leave military service struggle with reintegrating for this, some of the same reasons. And, you know, people with depression kind of start to isolate themselves, and, you know, people that struggle, just, they don't tend to reach out, especially military people. They think they can handle it on their own. And so I think, you know, as a civilian, people can start to reach out to veterans and help reestablish that tribe. And veterans need to kind of fight that fear of meeting different people and just start to forge some new relationships, find out what's interesting about the civilian world. And I just think, you know, maybe today people tend to be a little bit more texting and, you know, on social media. We really need that personal interaction. And it's a two-way street. Veterans have to reach out a little bit more. And I think civilians, it's a little bit deeper than thank you for your service.
Yeah.
It's, hey, what's going on today? Making time, listening, being open and honest, and just forging new relationships. Like you said, it's, you have to kind of trade in the one tribe that you had and find the next one.
How does your book and the sales and the proceeds, how does that work?
Well, so I'm asking people to go to patriotpromise.org, and it would be a real big help if people would just go to the Facebook for Patriot Promise and follow and like it, because that will help get the message out. But right now we're the book formally launches through Amazon and all the bookstores in May around Memorial Day. But I have what's called author copies, and people can go to patriotpromise.org. Everyone that orders a book, I'll automatically donate one, and they can donate 5 or donate 10. And I'm taking those books like to the VA down in Louisville, Nashville, Atlanta, Orlando, and Miami. I did that a couple weeks ago. And already I got a call back from the VA in Louisville. They're asking for more books because the veterans love them. So That just made my week when I got that news.
That's awesome. So I know we're running a little low, and just so you know, you just got one more follower on Patriot Promise on Facebook. So
awesome! Thank you.
I do want to thank you for being here today, and I want to get you on again. I look forward. I love the fact that you're working with us in our transitioning service member work group, and I do still need to get you tied into our Governor's Challenge suicide prevention program that we have, but. I'll work
awesome. With Liz. Thank you, Alan. It's been a great pleasure and a real honor.
Thank you much. Look forward to seeing you a little bit later today.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks.